Chapter 12, Prayer and the Word of God. God's Word is a record of prayer, of praying men and their achievements, of the divine warrant of prayer and of the encouragement given to those who pray. No one can read the instances, commands, examples, multiform statements which concern themselves with prayer, without realizing that the cause of God, and the success of His work in this world is committed to prayer, that praying men have been God's vicegerents on earth, that prayerless men have never been used of Him. A reverence for God's holy name is closely related to a high regard for His Word. This hallowing of God's name, the ability to do His will on earth, as it is done in heaven, the establishment and glory of God's kingdom, are as much involved in prayer, as when Jesus taught men the universal prayer. That men ought always to pray and not to faint, is as fundamental to God's cause, today, as when Jesus Christ enshrined that great truth in the immortal settings of the parable of the importunate widow. As God's house is called the house of prayer, because prayer is the most important of its holy offices, so by the same token, the Bible may be called the book of prayer. Prayer is the great theme and content of its message to mankind. God's Word is the basis, as it is the directory of the prayer of faith. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, says St. Paul, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As this Word of Christ dwelling in us richly is transmuted and assimilated, it issues in praying. Faith is constructed of the Word and the Spirit, and faith is the body and substance of prayer. In many of its aspects, prayer is dependent upon the Word of God. Jesus says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The Word of God is the fulcrum upon which the lever of prayer is placed, and by which things are mightily moved. God has committed Himself, His purpose and His promise to prayer. His Word becomes the basis, the inspiration of our praying, and there are circumstances under which, by importunate prayer, we may obtain an addition, or an enlargement of His promises. It is said of the old saints that they, through faith, obtain promises. There would seem to be in prayer the capacity for going even beyond the Word, of getting even beyond His promise, into the very presence of God, Himself. Jacob wrestled, not so much with a promise, as with the promiser. We must take hold of the promiser, lest the promise prove negatory. Prayer may well be defined as that force, which vitalizes and energizes the Word of God, by taking hold of God, Himself. By taking hold of the promiser, prayer issues, and makes personal the promise. "There is none that stirreth up himself, to take hold of me," is God's sad lament. "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me," is God's recipe for prayer. By scriptural warrant, prayer may be divided into the petition of faith and that of submission. The prayer of faith is based on the written word, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It receives its answer, inevitably the very thing for which it prays. The prayer of submission is without a definite word of promise, so to speak, but takes hold of God with a lowly and contrite spirit, and asks and pleads with Him, for that which the soul desires. Abraham had no definite promise, that God would spare Sodom. Moses had no definite promise that God would spare Israel, on the contrary, there was the declaration of His wrath, and of His purpose to destroy. But the devoted leader gained his plea with God, when he interceded for the Israelites with incessant prayers and many tears. Daniel had no definite promise that God would reveal to him the meaning of the king's dream, but he prayed specifically, and God answered definitely. The Word of God is made effectual and operative by the process and practice of prayer. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Elijah showed himself to Ahab, but the answer to his prayer did not come until he had pressed his fiery prayer upon the Lord 7 times. Paul had the definite promise from Christ that he would be delivered from the people and the Gentiles, but we find him exhorting the Romans in the urgent and solemn manner concerning this very matter, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints." The Word of God is a great help in prayer. If it be lodged and written in our hearts, it will form an outflowing current of prayer, full and irresistible. Promises, stored in the heart, are to be the fuel from which prayer receives life and warmth, just as the coal, stored in the earth, ministers to our comfort on stormy days and wintry nights. The Word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. Prayer, like man, cannot live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Unless the vital forces of prayer are supplied by God's Word, prayer, though earnest, even vociferous, in its urgency, is, in reality, flabby, and vapid, and void. The absence of vital force in praying can be traced to the absence of a constant supply of God's Word to repair the waste and renew the life. He who would learn to pray well must first study God's Word and store it in his memory and thought.